The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, the Lord changed the heart of the king. What? God can change the heart of a leader? Well, yes, Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Yeah, so it's up to God, not you and me, for all of it. Ooh, that stung a few people. Next, finally, enter stage right is the excellent Ezra, the book's namesake. That's what we're reading in. And how do the eternal scriptures describe our friend? He was well-versed in the law of Moses. Wouldn't that be neato if that's what God said about you and me? Yes. And finally, how about this for a fantastic kicker? Ezra had favor with the king because God had favor with Ezra. When God decides that something is going to go in a direction, it gets there in style. And when we're living for God, there are times when it feels difficult, but there are moments when God crushes it on our behalf. Go God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. You just heard a little bit. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and that is, in fact, terrific. Here's the simplicity of it all. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So maybe you have a thought that you want to share about something the Lord's working in your life. Maybe you have a praise report or perhaps a prayer request. Maybe you have a question. Maybe something you're just kind of wondering about in the kingdom life of what's going on. If you're really upset about all the stuff on the news, I feel for you. But what we're trying to do is point people towards the Lord, not towards the television. So keep it in those parameters, and that'll make it easy. Why? Because on this show, we have a pretty simple approach. We want to encourage one another to get closer and closer to the Lord as we see the day approaching. What day is that? The return of Jesus Christ. When is that going to happen? I hope it happens before I finish this sentence, but whenever the Lord returneth, he returneth. Here's what we know. It's closer now than it was 20 seconds ago. So for the first opening of our trivia, we will give you a relatively easy one because we want to keep it simple, especially on a Monday, keeping people's brains kind of fluid, you know. Who succeeded Moses as the leader of the children of Israel? Da-da-da! Who succeeded Moses as the leader of the children of Israel? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. 8483. Or you can reach out to us by email, david@hemusincrease.org. Speaking of which, please do not forget our website, hemusincrease.org. Website, hemusincrease.org, hemusincrease.org. Email david@hemusincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie artichokey. See, that's the theology term. see, not all righty, but the okie dokie artichokey. Okay? Just making sure you understand that. If you ever go into seminary, just look at everybody and go, okie dokie artichokey. They all go, amen. Sure. Here's the bottom line. This show, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience, so sometimes you got to buckle up and just see what happens. We're going to move into our Ezra discussion, and we're going to be starting in Ezra, actually, chapter 6 in just a second, but I want to encourage people to be praying for one another. Again, I want to give props to the church that I attend, and I'm sure that a lot of churches did great jobs this Sunday. It was just really a good service. Kurt taught a great message, and at the end, somebody gave their life to the Lord. And that's just something that is just what's greater than somebody coming into the kingdom. And even though you might be deep into eschatology, one thing you have to acknowledge right off the bat, and that is at some point there's going to be the last person that says yes to Jesus, and then the whole thing's going to be over. So the more people we get saved, the faster we get there. Okay? you see that? You see the kind of thinking a Jewish guy has? Okay, let's get as many people saved as possible so that he can go, and we can be done. Okay, that's my thinking. All right, trivia question. Who succeeded Moses as leader of the children of Israel? We'll give you a chance to call that in at the, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Let's get into the teaching. I really love this with this material we're going to cover. Please withhold your frustration when I talk about this. Is that a nice way to say this? It's like the nicest way to say that, right? Ezra chapter 6, verse 22. They ate the Passover meal and celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land because the Lord had changed the attitude of the king of Assyria towards them, that he helped them rebuild the temple of God, the God of Israel. I'm just going to say this as nice as I can. There are many people out there in our society that think, well, the leaders of the different political parties are being directed by the sub-leaders of those parties, and this is happening, and this is happening, and nobody's got the ability to make their own decisions, and knows this, and this is this, and everybody got ripped off. And by the way, just in case you're wondering how long they've been saying this election wasn't counted properly, just go back to the third election in America, where they thought that the votes were not counted right. That's been going on for a couple hundred years. That's not the big deal at all. Here's the big thing. If you want a leader to change, there is one being that can change the leader beyond anybody else. That would be the Lord. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes." And I had a conversation with somebody very close to me, and they were like, no, it's got to be done through this stream and through this avenue, and it's got to be done this way. And my response was, not you nor any other human beings ever will tell God what to do. Period. God is in charge. He will declare it. You want to change something? Pray. You want to alter something? Get on your hands and knees. You want to get a bunch of people together and be great advocates for a cause? It's birthed in prayer. Like the church was birthed in prayer, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, And 2,000 years later, give credit where credit is due, even the greatest generals of the world said nobody can build a kingdom like Jesus builds a kingdom. He doesn't even have weaponry except for spiritual weaponry like prayer. And for 2,000 years, his kingdom has been advancing into every nation on earth. That's right. There you go. It just tells you who's really in charge. You want to make a change in this country? Look at your knees. Then get on your knees and pray. Because changing the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. But you don't understand, Dave. These people are mean and wicked and steal things. Okay, let me help you out real quickly. One time when Israel was fighting and they didn't know what to do, God said, I'm going to help you. And God had all the enemies attack one another so they all killed themselves. See, this is what God can do, not man. So my point in bringing that up is look at Ezra. The people were celebrating. They were so happy because the Lord had changed the attitude of the king of Syria towards them so that he helped them rebuild the temple. God can make it so that the leaders that are gone awry make a correction and they go in support of building the kingdom of God. Nothing is beyond the scope of the Lord. Is anything too hard from the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Nothing. All right. We're going to answer the trivia question. People are like, I don't like that Dave guy now. Oh, well. I'm still going to follow him. Question, trivia, who succeeded Moses as leader of the children of Israel? The answer is Joshua. It's the name of my firstborn. Joshua, Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 through 23. We're going to take a break and come back. There's so much more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the next trivia question. Get ready. Here we go. Now, I've actually asked this before because we have done the show for, almost 2.5 years. We're getting up there. But I want the specific address. Whenever you hear somebody say that you want the address of it, talking about the Bible, that means they want the book, chapter, and verse. I knew I said that wrong. Book, chapter, and verse. I want the address, book, chapter, and verse, where it says the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Oh, now, if you know it, you can respond right away. You can text in or call in. If you think you know it and you want to call in, we'll get you there. If you're not sure, you can look it up in your concordance. In the back of your Bible is a concordance. Lists a lot of the key words, and you look it up that way. And after that, if you can't figure it out, then you can do a search theme. Okay? I'm just going to tell you that. You can call 972-445-0770 if you want to call in on that. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Straightforward. What is the address? So I want the address. Oh, good job. On regards to the very hairs on your head are numbered. And why that's important? It's important for you and I to recognize that, you know, those little things, they do matter. They matter to God. And because they are important to you, they're important to Him because He's your Father. Okay? All right. Did that. Are you ready for a joke? Okay. You got the buzzer?
You're killing me, Smalls.
I got the buzzer? You got the buzzer? There we go. All right, now, you have to think about this. This is a good joke, but you have to understand what's going on. So for those that are listening that like these jokes, it's one of those you have to engage with. You have to think about. The minister got new glasses and used them for the first time on Sunday morning during his sermon. They were bifocals. He hadn't used those before, so he kind of needed to get used to them in a hurry. As he was talking to the congregation, he noticed the reading portion of the glasses worked perfectly. Okay, that's the bottom part where you look, right? He could read his notes better than ever. However, the top part of the glasses did not work as well. In fact, everything looked kind of fuzzy, and he experienced a little dizziness every time he looked through the new glasses at the top part. So after a short while, he explained to the congregation that his new glasses were giving him problems. "I hope you will excuse me continually removing my glasses," he apologized. "When I look down and see the text, I see everything fine. But when I look at you, it makes me sick." That's pretty good. "When I look at you, it makes me sick." You know.
You start using that saying.
Yeah. It's not like we have high levels of class, but come on. It's pretty funny. All right, let's get back to the text. I want to introduce Ezra. So we're in the book of Ezra. We've gone through the first 6 chapters. Now we're at chapter 7, and this is actually the introduction to Ezra into the book that has his own namesake, which is just like classic. It says this: "Many years later, during the reign of King Artaxerxes, everybody could say it together. If you can say it in Yiddish, you really got it. Artaxerxes. After the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, there was a man named Ezra. He was the son of Azariah, of Hilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Zadok." It keeps going and going and going and going and going. Then it says this, verse 6, "This Ezra was a scribe," ready, "well-versed in the law of Moses. Okay. Why, Dave? Why is that important? Well, first of all, it's exceedingly important to understand that the description that the Bible gives Ezra is one that is straightforward. And I understand there is no additional material for New Testament, really, for Ezra to operate with that is the same way that there is for the Torah. It's a lot different for us now than it was back then when they had portions, sections here or there. Now we have the whole Bible put together all in one. We have it in electric form. You have it in magazines, books. You have it on the net. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in apps. So you just can't believe how much material there is and how blessed we are. Look at the description that is given for this guy, as simplistic as it can be. His big thing from God's point of view is that he was well versed in the law of Moses. Now, I just want you to think about that without being legalistic. What does that mean to be well versed in the law of Moses? It means that he read it and he studied it and he meditated on it. And he thought about it, and he applied it, and then he read it, and he studied it, and he thought about it, and he meditated on it, and he applied. And I could say that again and again and again, rinse and repeat. Because that description for God's point of view, or from God's point of view, is a good one. And what the Lord wants us to do, especially us who has this, what was it? A plethora. Yeah, it's like a Three Amigos reference. A plethora of opportunity to study the Word. I mean, ad nauseum. We can study as much as we want. We can learn as much as we want. And we should be well-versed. We should be well-versed in the law of Moses. We should be well-versed in the Word of God. We should be well-versed in the things that God has communicated to us because we have access to it. And let's just understand what the scripture says. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for... Wait, just stop. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for... It's profitable. In fact, if you go into the Joshua 1:8-9, which everybody loves to quote because it has the word success in it, everybody's like, oh, look, you can be successful. Okay, what it says is that you got to meditate in the law day and night, and then you can be successful. Financially successful? Much better than financially successful. Successful with God. You get that? Successful with God. And that's what Joshua wasn't a billionaire. He just led the children of Israel in all these battles, and they did really, really well, except for the one time where they had the hidden sin, and then God said, nah, it ain't going to work that way. And so after that, they were conquering. They were just doing fantastic. You want to be successful in life? Be successful with God. You already have a redeemed position with him through Jesus Christ. Now take it to the next step. Don't just be sitting on your blessed assurance. Okay, now I love that song, so don't get mad at me. Here's the bottom line. You learn it. You grow in it. You know it. You memorize it. You meditate on it. And don't tell me you don't have time for it, because every person I have ever met seems to say, in some capacity, how long do you sleep? 8 hours. Sleep 7 hours and 45 minutes and spend 15 minutes in the Word of God. I mean, I know that's mean to say that, but it's accurate. If you drive a lot, if you're on the road a lot, now for me, because I'm on the road, not probably as much as somebody like Sergio or some of the other people, I figured out a way to get all of my books so that I can hear them while I'm driving, which is kind of nice because it gives me about 2 extra hours every day. But you could be popping in the Bible. You could be popping in. There's probably 100 different ways that the Bible can be heard through the car, through a CD or through an app or through whatever the case may be, and any version you want. It's wonderful. I mean, that's the one great advantage we have. You can do it in the car. You can do it in your house. You can do it anywhere, but be well-versed so you can know what God sounds like so that when God speaks, you'll know whether it's him or not. There's a really good portion of this book I'm reading. It talks about the understood or the revealed truth and then the more mysterious truth. And it's not trying to get like weird on it. This is by a Dallas Thee guy. What he's saying is that when the Lord speaks to you, that's more of that's less revealed and more like something you learn or grow into or become sensitive to. But you do that by being fluid in the word of God so you know what God has to say. God will never speak contrary to his word. You have the word as your guide. It's the 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Get your BFN in the book. That's big fat nose. I'm sorry. I'm Jewish. I could say that all day long. Get in the book. Know the book. Don't wonder. So I'll ask you for a passage like we're asking about the hairs on your head. Why? Because you need to know that, as well as a number of other things. If somebody asks you a question, you should be able to go and say, it's here, it's here, it's here. So you don't have to know it perfectly, but know it. Be well-versed in it. Find your success in knowing what God has to say, and he will partner with you. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, able to restore the soul. And many of us need a lot of restoration, which means we need a lot of the law or the word of God in our system. Okay? All right. The passage is for the hairs on your head. It's going to be Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, or Luke chapter 12, verse 7. You can go either direction there. I would permit it. I think that's the way to go about it. We're going to take our break and then come back and go much deeper, so be prepared for that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time, and in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I've went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith. And the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless. Because you have to be engaged with God and know he's going to speak. And people are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes. Because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to fire off our trivia question real quickly. Mary's on the line waiting, but I'm going to ask a trivia question. Give chance of people to answer it. That's called a spoonerism when you flip them around. And I'm not kidding. That's actually from a preacher from the 1800s. What does the Bible say has never been tamed by man? What does the Bible say has never been tamed by man? Okay, we're going to grab Mary in just a second, but I want you to know you can call in 972-445-0770, which I think we can have do two lines, can't we? I think we can. And then you can text in 214-210-8483. What does the Bible say has never been tamed by man? Okay, now I'm going to lean over and get Mary. Let's go ahead and grab that. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
I couldn't hardly help myself when you were talking about, you know, we can hear God's word, we can read God's word. And I thought to myself, yeah, we can even read God's word in the dark. And some of us can, you know, some of us can read God's word in the dark. We don't even have to turn on a light.
Talk to me. How does somebody read God's word in the dark without turning on a light?
Because if you have a Braille Bible, all you need is your fingertips.
That is
to read the word of
excellent.
God.
Excellent job, Mary. I knew you were going there. That's why that's such a good point. That's how active and how accessible the word God is. We can even access it,
right.
Even if you don't have anything to see it, but you can feel it and still read it.
Yes, that's right.
Excellent, Mary. Yeah. That's an excellent job.
I know
job.
The answer to the question that you're asking, but I'm not going to tell you. I'll let somebody else call in. Okay, but that's something to remember, you know.
Good
that
job.
There's some people that they don't even need a light on.
Yep, that's an excellent job.
Okay.
Really good, Mary. Excellent job.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's so great. That was good. Okay, so trivia question still on board. Mary knew the answer. She's not going to answer it. You can either call in or still text in. Okay? That's the people doing, you know, everybody doing a little bit of everything. What does the Bible say has never been tamed by man? Okay? And the only hint you get, I got to give one hint. Because I just feel the need from time to time, it is in James chapter 3. Okay? That's a whole chapter. You got to not necessarily read the whole chapter, but you got to go to James chapter 3 if you want to figure it out. If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. What do we got to do? We got to do history, right? Okay? I mean, you know, people are like, well, why do you do history? Well, at this point, I do it because I look it up and I put it on a piece of paper. So at this point, it's effort expended and therefore effort displayed. That's what I would say. Let's play history. Go ahead.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, some of these are rather, it's like they're not huge or anything. Today is Paul Bunyan Day. For those who don't know who Paul Bunyan is, he's named a giant lumberjack in American folklore. Basically came about probably about 1906 or so when the first article came out. And the main reason was because there's many lakes in Minnesota and some of the lakes actually resemble footprints. And so they made up a whole lore or story about Paul Bunyan, and that the lake was made by his footprint, and then he had his ox named Babe, and it's just a whole, you know, it's a whole story. But it's fun. I mean, it's cute. Today is also National Alaska Day. Some beautiful territory there in Alaska. No question about that. This is what I thought was hilarious. It's International Caps Lock Day. And I don't know if you've ever gotten a text from somebody who doesn't know how to uncap, or they just either send an email or they text you and it's all caps because they don't know that caps is shouting, right? It's like in the lingo. You know, why is this fish this way? I don't know. Why are you screaming about it? It's so funny. Two other things, and then we'll move on. 1894 on this day, Labor Day was made an official U.S. holiday in 1894 on this day. And then, and I remember this, 1997, Lend Me Your Ears, June 28th, 1997. Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear in the heavyweight boxing championship. How do you know when it's time to retire from boxing? When Mike Tyson chips a tooth on your hearing aid. That's how you know. That's an old joke. Anyway, that's funny. Just leave it there. It's just like, okay. All right. What do we have on our trivia question? What does the Bible say has never been tamed by man? People still texting in. You can text in at 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. I can tell you one thing. It's no animal. That's for sure. You're actually trying to find it in James chapter 3 is where you're kind of looking to go. Let's read this next section after this wonderful description of Ezra being well-versed in the law of Moses. Here's what it says. He came up to Jerusalem from Babylon, and the king gave him everything he asked for because the gracious hand of the Lord his God was on him. So before we get into that, somebody's calling in. So it's important for us to recognize that point, and I kind of want to make that point strongly, and I don't want you to get into the prosperity mindset. Most people know we're very we're careful. It's not that the Lord doesn't bless you, but then the Lord also challenges you, and that's all part of the existence of Christianity. But there are times when God drops it for you. It's just like, you know what a mic drop is? That's when they use the whatever's been said or saying or whatever. It's just so good you can't say anything about it. Then the person just drops the microphone on the ground. Like, ha, top that. God does mic drops for all of us from time to time. Bam, bam. I mean, is it just like, and the Lord's just like, take that. Ha, 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 ha. And you're just like, yes, I love this, right? Okay. People are thinking God does. Oh, sure he does. We just call it a mic drop, but that's God going, watch this. We ready for this person? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. No one's calling in, so I thought I'd give the answer.
All right, fire away, Mary. We'll do it real fast. What's the answer? What is it the Bible says has never been tamed by man?
The tongue.
That is correct, Amanda! You are correct, ma'am. Excellent job.
You know, just one more thing. You know, I've been thinking about this today and praying about it. Israel has sent some helpers over here to Florida to help see if there's any more, find some people that they can't find under all that rubbish when that...
Yep. Definitely need something to be prayed for.
So I wanted to bring that up. And also, you know, today the leader or the new leader over there is to talk to our president this afternoon.
Well, that's where we'll go back to. We're going to pray that God, who's in charge of the king's heart, will do everything the way it needs to be done. That's what people should be praying about. Instead of just waiting for the report, we should be asking God to intervene. Right?
Yes.
That's the way to do it. All right. Good job, Mary. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And Mary does bring up a good point. Don't forget about the people in Florida. That's just a disaster. It's like, well, it's this person's fault. Does it matter? Just pray for the people. Okay? I'm going to pray for the people. That's just a horrible situation. You wouldn't want it. So just keep them in prayer. All right. Going back to this, I want to make sure we catch this. I want you to understand that there are times in your life where the Lord allows the desert experience. Israel went through the desert before they got through the promised land. God, if God wanted to, he could have pulled them out of Egypt, which was the bondage land, and just put them straight into the promised land. But they went through the desert. They had to get a few things cleaned and straightened out and get things kind of situated correctly. And then God brought them in the promised land. So there's times where the Lord brings us through those kind of experiences. But, and I say that in the kindest way, there is this point, and for many of us, we know that when the trumpet blows, and please don't lie about it. You know you want to turn to your neighbor and go, ha! You know, you want to. You're not gonna, but you know you want to. But the point is, there's gonna come a point where God goes, okay, that's it. And that's what happened with Ezra. The gracious hand of God was with him. He got everything he wanted. He got everything he was asking for. I just think we don't think of God as generous like that. Too many of us, when we pray, we think of God as he's got like this bag of being able to answer our prayers, and we have to pull it out of his hand. Like you have to coax it out or something. So you got to coax it out. If God wants to pour it out, he'll pour it out. There'll be showers of blessings. You know, I mean, there's dewdrops now, but we want showers. And for those that are thinking, well, you know, the Lord's kind of tight. The Lord doesn't give you what will hurt you when he answers your prayers. When you ask for something, he's not going to give you something that's going to backfire on you unless he's teaching you a lesson like he did to Israel because they asked inappropriately. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God is generous and he's gracious and he will mic drop on your behalf. Why? Because he loves you. He loves to watch over his kids. It's the Father's pleasure to give them the kingdom. Yeah, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. the purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, a couple things we got to do. Let's see. We got to do our trivia question. By the way, everybody's doing a great job on trivia. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Okay? All right. Okay, here you go. Now, a lot of you will know this right off the bat. So if you do, just respond right away. Some of you will have to look it up. If you don't get it right away, I will help out. Lydia, character in the book of Acts. Lydia was known for selling what? Lydia was known for selling what? You probably don't want to go with cheeseburgers because that would probably not be accurate. Okay? All right. I'm just saying. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, somebody calling in. And then you can also text in 214-210-8483. I was going to give you a word wealth, and then I for whatever reason, oh, there it is, numbers 3613. I couldn't remember which one it was, and I just remembered. Do you guys ever feel like you're getting older? Or is it just me? It can't be just me that's thinking this, but, you know, it's like sometimes you do something, you're like, okay. I just want to make sure it's not me. Somebody answering the trivia question? Okay. All right. Okay. Got to stop pushing stuff around. This is David. Whoop. Okay. Whoever that was, go ahead and call back. Okay. I could have done that. Did I do that? Did they just fall off? Okay. Well, if they were going to get us a pizza, I certainly want them to call back. The trivia question, Lydia is known for selling what? What did she sell? What? That's how one of my relatives was said. What did she sell? What? What was she selling? Okay, we're going to do our word. This will be a Hebrew word. So let's go ahead and get our Hebrew music going.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava.
Potato latkes. Okay. See, I'm just going to say a new Jewish word, Yiddish thing every time we do it. This is Numbers chapter 36, verse 13. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. The word we're focusing in on is judgment. Oh, Dave, do you have to? Yes. The word judgment in the Hebrew is mishpat. Mishpat. You might think of it this way. Somebody is putting and they miss it. So there you go, mishpat. Like you missed the putt. Mishpat. Like that? That's good. Mishpat means decision, determination, judgment, a personal cause or right. Justice or correction, punishment, mishpat, judgment, mishpat, judgment. That's the Hebrew word. Okay? All right. Somebody called in, and then they're probably just in a cell area, and they're probably trying to call in, and then they keep calling, and it keeps dropping. That happens. That's okay. All right, so the trivia question, and we'll give it another shot. And don't worry if you're calling in and it drops. You can call in again. Nobody gets mad about stuff like that. You got 7-8 minutes left in the show. You might as well smile about it. Lydia is known for selling what? Again, if you know that, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Mishpat. See, the reason that's funny is because if you went to a Jewish deli and they say, did he make the putt? They go, and he missed the putt. See, that's why that would be funny. I can't be the only person who thinks stuff like this is funny. I mean, I could be, but that would be sad. All right, somebody's calling up to see if they can answer the trivia question in regards to Lydia. For those that do need a further reference point, it's Acts 16. She was, by the way, with the Philippian jailer, one of the core members of the church at Philippi that Paul established. So it's good to know that kind of thing. Are they ready? Going to answer? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Fine. Are you doing okay today?
I'm doing okay. I'm so happy I got this paper done. I wish I could express to you, it's kind of like somebody gets you a wonderful lunch and then pays for it and you didn't know what was going to happen. That's how good it feels.
Oh, there you go.
It's like, yuck, I'm so happy.
All right.
Now you got Lydia. She's a pretty important person, actually. And one of the things I think that gets underreported about Lydia is she was so persuasive, as you look in the text, you'll tell us what she was doing, but she persuaded Paul. Tells you, this gal was like, she had it going on, right? Because she persuaded Paul to go back to her house. It's like, that's pretty good. What did she sell? What was she a seller of?
I don't know if I'm right on this. Was it fine linens?
Yes, but there was a certain color, and I want you to kind of...
Purple.
That's it! There you go! Colors back then were not like colors now, where you can just go onto any kind of program in the world and have whatever colors you want. Colors were much more rare, much more difficult to be seen. And she was a color seller of the color of purple linen or purple cloth. And that was a very expensive social item, kind of like maybe somebody selling diamonds kind of thing. So she did. She was doing pretty well for her being a seller of purple. Excellent job, by the way.
Okay.
That was very,
all right,
very good.
Well, you have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much, Deborah. God bless you.
Uh-huh. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. And I do. I think that's funny from the point of view that this is one of the few times. There's only two or three people, I think, in the New Testament. Two for sure. One is Apollos, where Paul said, hey, I want you to do this. And Apollos said, no. Which... I think you guys have to understand that's like a very influential person, looking more influential than Billy Graham kind of would have been. And then the mentality is the person goes, no, I'm not doing that. And then there's Lydia, seller of purple. And she was like, you're coming to my house. No. You didn't hear me. Let me say it in a way you can really understand it. You're coming to my house. And then Paul's like, okay. So I just love stuff like that. Last thing we got to talk about here. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in August of that year. He had left Babylon on April 8th and came to Jerusalem on August 4th. This is from Ezra 7, verse 8. By the way, it was a 60-year difference from when we left off the last time we were talking about Ezra and them being happy about the temple and all this other stuff. 60 years have gone by, so now Ezra's coming back to kind of straighten things out. And that's what happens. Every so many years, things have got to be straightened out with the people of God because they tend to forget. It says this, Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in August of that year. He had left Babylon on April 8th, came to Jerusalem on August 4th, for the gracious hand of his God was with him. This was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord and to teach those laws and regulations to the people of Israel. So here's the one thing that doesn't get talked a lot about unless you're in the quote-unquote professional ministry. And I'm going to tell you right now that this is as much your responsibility as it is my responsibility. And in fact, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers referenced in Ephesians are for the equipping of the saints for the saints' works of service. So the saints are supposed to be actively involved in works of service. Ezra was a totally awesome guy, knew the word of God, knew what it said, studied it. He was determined to know it. He was determined to obey it. And then he was determined to communicate or teach it. You, let me just say this in the nicest way, you bear a responsibility to share, to teach, to communicate things that God has shown or taught or instructed you in. You bear that responsibility to share that with others. While we come up with many fancy terms like you're supposed to disciple people and then you get all these conjure up pictures of what that means. Here's what it is in essence. Jesus taught you, you should teach others what Jesus has taught you. And then they will learn from Jesus, and they will teach others, and they will learn, and they will teach others, and thus for the Great Commission. You don't get some of these cool things that God gives you. And by the way, he gives you a lot of, not just answers to prayer, he gives you insights. He never gives an insight for you to just keep to your lonesome self. God doesn't share it with you so you can go, ooh, it's a private secret, ooh. Now, if he gives you a promise, that's a little different. If there's something in a particular situation, that's it. But if God teaches you something, what you have been taught needs to be shared. Because that's how you expand the kingdom of God. That's how you move it forward. That's what you do, is you teach the things the Lord has taught you. And no, you don't make stuff up, or you don't, well, I had this theory. I've actually talked to somebody about this, and this will really bother a few people, but this person said, I know I have this theory. I'm pretty sure the Lord showed me. I said, what's that? They said, oh, the Lord has shown me the theory that there's no time in heaven. And I said, well, in Revelation 7 and 8, or 7, I think it's 8, it says there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. So that theory is wrong. Okay. That's my responsibility to tell that person that. Why? Because that's what the scripture says. I'm not talking about you sharing things that are in the top of your head in the ether. Things that you've learned in Scripture between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21 that you know are the truth, share that. You can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a sharer of the word. And who knows, that one time you share with somebody or teach might be the very thing they were looking for an answer for. And you could be holding that answer, that truth that can help set them free. So be that person. Okay? All right. Okie dokie, artichokey. See, there's your theology. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry child.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.